Good morning. I'm going to ask if you will take your Bible and turn in it to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, that is where our study is going to be located this morning. Thank you so much for being here. It is my privilege to be able to study the Word of God with you. Thank you so much for your careful attention, and I pray that our study together will be a blessing to you. I want to begin this morning by asking you two very important questions. Question number one is, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? What are you hoping to get out of life? What do you think life is all about? What is it that you really desire in the deepest, most innermost parts of your being? What is it that you're looking for? And question number two is related to that first question. Do you know where to find it? Those are two very fundamental questions of life. They're absolutely vital. They are of critical importance. What are you looking for, and do you know where to find it? And the sad thing is about the world that we live in is that when it comes to that first question, what are you looking for? Our lives are often so busy and so full and so jam-packed that we never even stop to ask ourselves that question or meditate on that question or think about it, do we? When was the last time you really thought, really pondered that question? What am I looking for in my life? We just run on and on and on and go through the hustle and bustle of every single day. We don't really think about it. And because we don't think about that question and we don't ask ourselves that question, we have no way to even begin answering that second question. Do you know where to find it? What that does to us, brothers and sisters, what that does to us, friends and neighbors, is that leaves us in a position where we end up looking for all of our answers in all the wrong places. What are you looking for? And do you know where to find it? This morning, I asked you to join me in John 4, because in that story, in that chapter, we read about a woman, read a story about a woman who was looking for something, but we read about her even, and she may not even known what she was looking for, and she definitely had no idea where to find it. You know, often when we come to John 4, usually we come and we preach a sermon or we teach a Bible class about what? Personal evangelism, right? And we talk about how Jesus interacted with the woman at the well, and we say there's all kinds of things we can learn about how Jesus taught the gospel to this woman that we can put into practice in our daily lives to share the gospel with our friends and neighbors. All kinds of lessons there. According to Carrie, there's 10, right? 10 lessons in John 4 about personal evangelism. And that's important, and that's good, and that's true. But what I want you to understand this morning is that this story in John 4 about the Samaritan woman at the well is not primarily a story about evangelism tactics. This story is about a lost person who is looking for answers in all the wrong places. This story is about us too. And sometimes we do exactly the same thing that she did. We look for all of our answers in all the wrong places. So begin reading with me, if you will. In John chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. John 4, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says this. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself was not baptizing, but his disciples were, he left Judea and he went away again into Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph, and Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. I want you to notice that the action begins. Verse 7 begins with that important statement. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. She came to this well looking for water, looking to fill that most fundamental, that most basic need of human life. She needs water to survive. And so that's why she came to the well. And that's what put her life into the orbit of Jesus's life. But I want you to appreciate that water is not all that this woman is looking for. That this day that she meets Jesus, yes, she came to the well because she was looking for water, but every single day of her life, she is looking for so much more. She's looking for what all of us are looking for ultimately. She's looking for eternal life. I know that because of what we read in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I know that because I'm a human being and you're a human being. I know that because the Bible tells us that God has set eternity in our hearts. Every single one of us has that longing for eternity. Ever since man was banished from the Garden of Eden, was banished from that perfect existence, that perfect harmony with God, every single one of us live every day in this broken world yearning to get back, yearning to know what it feels like to live once again in that perfect condition in the garden. Every single one of us is looking for eternal life. We're all looking for Eden all over again. And so simply by the fact that it says there came a woman, there came a human being, there came one of God's creatures, we know that she was looking for eternal life. Now, there may be some people who will say, look, that's not what everybody is looking for. You ask some random person on the street, are you looking for eternal life? Some of them are going to say no. But I want you to think about how every single person answers the question we began with. If they really, really are honest, and if they really take the time to think about it, what are you looking for? Do you know how people answer that question? Do you know how you answer that question? We answer it by saying things like this. I'm looking for peace. I'm looking for contentment. I'm looking for true satisfaction. I'm looking for security. I'm looking for joy. I'm looking for purpose and meaning. I want my life to matter. I'm looking for comfort. Brothers and sisters, understand that that's how human beings answer that question. Whether they understand, whether they believe in God or not, whether they believe in Jesus or not, that's what everybody is looking for. And what I want you to understand is those are the blessings of eternal life. Those are the things that Adam and Eve had in the garden. Those are the things that God has promised to give to those who are faithful to Him unto death. Those are the things that everybody wants. And so ultimately, whether we understand it or not, all of us are looking for eternal life. We all yearn for Eden. And the same was true of this woman when she came to this well to draw water. But I want you to understand this also about her life. Understand that she is looking for the blessings of eternal life. She is looking for what we are all looking for. And understand, we know very clearly that her story, her search was not going very well. We read that later in the story in John 4, beginning in verse 16. We have this biographical information provided by Jesus. He said to her, go call your husband and come here. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have correctly said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you have now is not your husband. This you have said truly. So understand that this woman is looking for what we're all looking for. She's looking for eternal life. She's looking for satisfaction and comfort and security and joy. And understand that her search has gone terribly wrong. Her life has gone completely off the rails. And just this little bit of information shows us that, doesn't it? Jesus shows us that she has had five husbands. She has been married and divorced five times. And I don't care who you are. That is not a sign that life is going well. That's not a sign that life is going according to plan. That's not the kind of life that brings joy and comfort and security and peace. She's been married to five husbands. And that's not to mention her current situation, because she has been married and divorced 5 times. And now currently she is living with a man who is not her husband. And so she is living in a situation where she is in open sin, open rebellion against God. And it's possible that the story shows us that this is why she came to the well alone. It was not common for a woman to go to a well all by herself. And so it was uncommon for Jesus to encounter a single woman at this well in Samaria. And many people have stipulated, I think they may be right about it, that what has happened is because of her current situation, she has been ostracized from her society. She's been kicked out and abandoned because her life is such a mess. And so understand this woman of Samaria, she's looking for something. And there are two things that you need to appreciate about her search. First of all, that she's looking for answers in all the wrong places. That's obvious enough, isn't it? That she's trying to fill this hole inside of her with worldly solutions. But when she's trying to fill that hole, she does not turn to God. She does not turn to Jehovah. What she does is she turns to worldly solutions. What does she turn to? Men. That's her answer. This is what's going to make me happy, comfortable, secure. This is what's going to bring me joy. I'm going to turn to men. And understand this also about her, that she keeps looking for answers in all the wrong places. There's a typo on there, but don't crucify me for it, okay? She keeps looking for answers in all the wrong places. Her life is the definition of insanity. Doing the same thing over and over and over and over again, expecting a different result. First marriage failed, let's try a second. Second marriage failed, it'll work the third time. Third marriage fails, wait till you meet the fourth guy. This one's really gonna stick. Over and over and over again, she's trying to fix her life with the same worldly solutions. Just as she keeps going back to Jacob's well for water, she keeps going to the next man, hoping that he has the answer, hoping that he can give her what she's looking for. And honestly, brothers and sisters, when I look at that, when I look at those two things, as she's looking for answers in the wrong places, and she keeps doing it over and over and over again, you know who I see? I see myself. Don't you do that too? Where do you go when you're looking for comfort? Where do you go when you're trying to feel secure? Where do you go to find contentment and happiness and satisfaction? And the truth is, for every single person sitting in this audience, we've all tried to fill that hole and accomplish those things and bring those blessings into our lives by worldly solutions, haven't we? We've all done that. And we're just like her too. Not only did we do it once, but we typically do that over and over and over and over and over again. And no matter how many times those things fail us, no matter how many times we realize that doesn't give me what I'm looking for, we keep going back to the well, hoping that there we will find the answers we've finally been trying to find. We keep looking for answers in all the wrong places. Do you recognize that about yourself? Because I see that in my life. This is a tendency that mankind has, and that's pointed out by Jeremiah the prophet in Jeremiah 2 and verse 13. I want you to listen to what the prophet says. He says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." And so do you see the picture that God is painting through the prophet Jeremiah? He says, "I am God. I am the fountain of living water. I am the source of blessing. I am the one who can give you everything that you're looking for. I am the one who's like an oasis in the desert. I am exactly what you need. And yet, even though that's what I am, even though these are the blessings I can provide, what do my people do? They run away from me. They forsake me. They leave this perfect situation. And they look for these blessings in other places." He says they hew their own wells. They build their own wells. They dig their own wells in the wilderness because they're trying, and that symbolizes how they try to find their blessings in their own way. Just like we try to plug those holes in our heart with these worldly solutions, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to build their own wells, find their own water, find their blessings outside of God and what He promises. But He says those wells, they don't hold water. This venture, trying to find blessings outside of God, it always leaves them empty. It always leaves them thirsty. Haven't you noticed that about your own life? That when I'm looking for blessings and I try to plug those holes in my heart with worldly solutions, every time it leaves me thirsty. Every time it doesn't do what it's supposed to do. Every time the worldly solutions do not bring me peace. They do not bring me full satisfaction. They do not bring me contentment. They do not bring me full, pure joy. They do not bring me what I think they're going to bring me. It always leaves me empty. It's because it's a broken well. So sometimes, just like her, we're looking for blessings in all the wrong places. And so Jesus, seeing this woman at the well, He notices that she is living just like those people in the days of Jeremiah. She's looking for water at the bottom of an empty well. And that's when Jesus decides to tell her about the fountain of living water. Listen to what He says in verse 9, John 4 and verse 9. Therefore the Samaritan woman said to Him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink since I'm a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." And Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked Him and He would have given you living water." She said to Him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? You're not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us this well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?" And Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." Jesus recognizes that she is living exactly the same way as those people in the day of Jeremiah. And so he tells her about the fountain of living water. Notice what He says first of all in verse 10. He says, and I love those three words, "if you knew." In other words, if you truly understood who you were talking to, then this conversation would have gone way differently than it is. If she only knew. If she only knew what He could provide, she would have been begging Him. She would have been begging Him for water. If she only knew that He was the key to every door that was shut to her. If she only knew that He was the answer to every question that she had. If she only knew that He was the satisfaction and the fulfillment of every deep yearning of her heart. If she only knew that, she would have asked Him. And then you have that statement in verse 13. Where Jesus says to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again." And yes, that probably is a statement about the physical water of Jacob's well. Look, you can keep drinking physical water and you're going to have to keep drinking it. You're going to be thirsty again. You're going to have to come back to this well. It's not going to satisfy you for the rest of your life. But I also believe that this is a statement about the broken well that she's been trying to draw from spiritually. Jesus is telling her, you're not going to find your answers in the well of men. The way that you're trying to find living water, the way that you're trying to find these blessings, by going from man to man to man, from marriage to marriage to marriage, it's a broken well. It can't hold water, and it's always going to leave you thirsty. I wonder, brothers and sisters, if there's someone here who needs to hear that today. That your worldly solutions to your spiritual problems are always going to leave you thirsty. And then Jesus begins in verse 14 to talk about what He can provide. He says, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. I want you to notice what he says there at the beginning phrase. He says, whoever drinks of this water will never thirst. And this is a promise that Jesus gives us in this life and in the next. When you turn to Jesus and you start looking to him for your answers, you will never go thirsty. In other words, you're going to find what you were looking for. And you're not going to need to go to other places to find the blessings that you need. When you believe in him, when you have faith in him, when you receive his commands and his instructions, when you receive him entirely and everything that that includes, not just believing in him, not just trusting in him, but doing life his way and listening to his words and applying them to your life. When you receive him like you're gulping down that living water, all of these blessings that you're looking for begin to flow into your life. Of course, that does not mean that these blessings are perfect and complete and total, and you're never going to have any sorrow, you're never going to have any trials. That's not the promise of Jesus, but it is the promise that you will have what you need. You will have the peace you need and the contentment you need, the satisfaction you need and the security you need to make it through life on this earth. This is also the promise of Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. The person who turns to Jesus for their answers and receives him into their life, they're like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. A tree that never needs to go anywhere else looking for blessing, looking for what it needs, looking for sustenance. A tree that always bears fruit and always flourishes and always does not die and does not wither. That's the life promised to those who delight in the law of the Lord, who receive him, and choose to drink from the fountain of living water. And of course, Jesus says after that, that this well of water will well up in you, leading to eternal life. That eventually the great promise of this is, when all is said and done, and you breathe your last, and your body is committed to the grave, that you will find what you've been looking for your entire life. That all those blessings you've been searching for, all those things that you cared so much about, all those deep yearnings in your heart will finally be satisfied with an eternal life with our God. This is the promise from the fountain of living water. And so I'll ask you again this morning, do you know what you're looking for? And do you know where to find it? You know, there's a point of application to be made to every kind of person this morning. Every kind of person who may be sitting here in this audience. There's an application of this point. To those who are drinking from the fountain. To those whose lives right now are turned toward Jesus and are depending on him for their blessing. I want you to know that you should never stop drinking from the fountain of living water. Don't turn away to something else. Don't let the devil entice you to try to find blessings elsewhere. He's going to do that, and you're going to be tempted to do that, and you're going to think you need to do that to really get what you want and really get what you need. But those things that the devil promises and that the devil entices you to drink from, they are broken, empty wells. It's going to leave you thirsty. Never stop drinking from the fountain of living water. Never turn away from Jesus. And there may be some here who have made that decision, who have decided to leave Jesus and go away and start drinking from those own cisterns, those broken wells. And you need to know that the message to you is that you need to turn around and you need to come back. I'm sure there are people here today, even though they're dressed in their Sunday best, and even though they're here on a Sunday morning, who in their daily lives have stopped turning to Jesus looking for blessings and have started trusting in worldly solutions. They've turned to sin. They've turned to Satan. They've turned to something other than their Savior, looking for those answers. You need to turn around. You need to stop looking for answers in all the wrong places and go back to the fountain of living water. And there may be some this morning who've never tried living life God's way, who've never turned to Jesus. And for you, to those who have never tasted the living water, I implore you this morning to try living life His way. Try depending on Him. Try trusting in Him. Try drinking from His fountain. Leave aside those worldly solutions. Leave aside those worldly answers. Leave aside those broken wells and turn to Jesus. Turn to His Word. And seek eternal life there. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find it. We don't have time to finish everything in John 4, but I do want to read to you the very end of the story, at least as far as this woman goes. Verse 25, John 4 and verse 25, it says, "The woman said to Him, 'I know that Messiah is coming, He who is called Christ. And when that one comes, He will declare all things to us.' Jesus said to her, 'I who speak to you am He.' And at this point, His disciples came, and they were amazed that He had been speaking with a woman. Yet no one said, 'What do you seek?' or 'Why do you speak with her?'" Verse 28. "So the woman left her water pot and went into the city and said to the men, 'Come see a man who told me all the things that I have done.'" This is not the Christ, is it? The thing that I love about the end of this story is that simple statement in verse 28, that she left her water pot there. Her whole day, or at least that part of the day, was centered on this chore. I'm going to go to Jacob's well. I'm going to get some water. I'm going to bring it home because that's what we need to live. But after she'd met Jesus, after she'd heard about the living water, what happened to that chore? She completely forgot about it. She left her water pot there because she'd found the answer she'd been looking for. She found the one who could really bless her. And that is symbolic of the choice that I believe she made with the rest of her life, that she was going to stop pursuing blessing in worldly things. She was going to stop trying to find answers in all the wrong places, and she was going to look toward Jesus, the fountain of living water, and seek her blessings there. Brothers and sisters, if you need to do that, you can do that today. That begins by becoming a Christian. The Bible says that we can have our sins washed away, that we can become children of God if we are willing to, if we believe in Jesus, if we're willing to confess our belief before Him, if we're willing to repent of our sins, if we're willing to stop looking for water at the bottom of broken wells, and we're willing to start looking for blessing and eternal life in Jesus, then you can be baptized in water and rise to walk in newness of life, dedicating the rest of your days toward Him with the hope that one day in heaven, you will have everything your heart has ever wanted. If you need to do that, if we can help you with that, we invite you to come to the front while we stand, while we sing.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power?